Welcome to Greater Conversations with Jana Spica and her spicy friends. Hope you'll enjoy our smattering of conversations and musings and prayers and revelations and things as we try to live out a life of beautiful tension with the Holy Spirit.
So far beyond what I can see.
Hey, this is Jana Spica with Greater Conversations, and always so appreciate you joining us, and I'm lovely Crystal Freeman here, and we're doing something a little bit different today. Crystal said, I'm going to bring the topics, and I went, what does that mean? And just go from there. I'm just going to hand it right over here.
So it's been so fun joining you at the table, and then I feel you interview so well me, and you have questions for me, so I thought it'd be fun to ask some of your dearest friends some questions they would ask you. I wish you all could see Jana's face right now. She's like, oh, geez. So
I feel a little bit set up right now. All right. Do I have permission to decline?
No.
Oh, pass or fail. Okay. Here we go.
We'll start out easy. How about some questions such as, what was your first date with Chuck like?
Is this a BC or, you know, like, okay, so my first time that I met Chuck or my first date?
Let's do met. I'm interested to know your first impression.
Okay, so I was living in Manhattan with Chuck's sister, and Chuck's sister was going to a multi-level marketing meeting, which I had declined multiple
times.
Don't
you love those?
I do not, actually.
Let's talk about that.
So she said, come on, come on. It's at the Waldorf Astoria. What can you possibly hate about that? So I got dressed up, went to work, blah, blah. And I come over and I meet not only her, who's my friend, but her sister and two of her brothers. Mm. And one brother is a loud mouth and kind of crazy. And then there's this short, kind of quiet guy who brought me a glass of water. And I went, who is this weird guy bringing me a glass of water? And so he was short, and I was in Stiletto Hills, so he didn't even make the bar, like didn't even pass the radar at all. But then we went to get drinks and stuff after the meeting, and he was two people down from me, and there were bowls of nuts on the scrapbooking table with 12 people, and I kept noticing that the bowls of nuts kept changing in front of me, and there were Brazil nuts on the top, which are my favorite. So Chuck had seen me pick through the bowl of nuts trying to find Brazil nuts, and he kept shifting the bowls down so that the Brazil nuts were on top. I should have won me from right there.
No. Sweet angel man.
Yeah, that was just the beginning. So that was our first meeting. Our first date was probably after we'd been married 18 years, but we don't want to go there. But there's
just
that.
So cute.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite place to visit?
The beach, always. That's easy.
One in particular?
I have this special place at Pensacola, Fort Pickens. I always go to the same place. I always love it.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful there. I just can hear the Lord there so well at the ocean.
Yeah. Wonder what it is about that. I think it's water.
I do think it's water. Something I think it's the rhythm. I think it's the vastness. Lots of things.
If you could relive one day, what would it be and why?
Oh my gosh, these questions, Crystal.
That one's mine. I've stumped you.
Yeah. You know, I think about like highlight moments for just kind of going through my life. You know, the day that I really ran into the arms of Jesus just wrecked me. Mm. I mean, I've ran into his arms since then, but that day was like so significant. Just the first breaths of new life with him were so dramatic for me.
Yeah.
That I even now go back to that. That's like that first love encounter, that the wonder and the awareness of him.
Mm-hmm. Where was it? I don't think I know the story.
Do you know the Doolin on Kingston Pike? You know, there's Calvary Church, and then there's the Doolin, and then there's these old historic homes. And that church at that time was renting almost all of them because they were so big.
Gotcha.
And there was a little gazebo out there. And I was supposed to, this is actually a very funny story. They were doing a women's event. I hate Christian women. And so Chuck said, the one few times that Chuck, it was so funny, Chuck was trying to boss me around. He's like, well, you are going to that women's event. And I went, I am not going to that women's event. He goes, you are going. So he walked me to the door and he goes, get in there.
He walked you in.
Yeah. And I look in there. I'm going, oh, I'm breaking out in hives. Like, I'm not going in there. I'm not doing it. And he said, Jenna, I mean it. You got to go. And I went, okay, babe, I'm going. He goes, I'm going to walk off and you're going in that door. I went, okay, babe. And I waved at him and he walked off and I literally ran out of the building. And I started running past the buildings that I knew Calvary's part of. And there was a gazebo over there. And I just like ran straight into the arms of the Lord. And it just, everything changed in that moment.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay.
That was a happy memory. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. What are trigger words for you? There's some words that, like, I don't like. I'll give you a little explanation.
Yeah, give me a
just
little
some
example.
Words that kind of make me prickly. Yeah. You know, like submission. It's a little cool. You know, I just immediately feel myself. I think, and that's not like biblical, beautiful, submitting. I'm meaning when someone tries to like force submission on someone, that kind of submission is what I think makes me so prickly. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your prickly words?
Submission is one, probably for the same reasons, because I think Christ-like submission is the most beautiful thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But our toxic nature is more slavery. Dominating, that's the word, dominating kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think aggressive, when we use aggressive language around women, that women are aggressive instead of confident or sure. I find I get probably more triggered around church words and church concepts probably more than anything else. Like women in leadership, that's a trigger word for me. Or authenticity can be a trigger word for me because I've been in environments where people kept talking about vulnerability, but they were putting on a show as if we were too dense to see there's not anything authentic about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a purity in that, right? Where you spirit connects to spirit, we know that this is honest and true, and beautiful, praiseworthy, you know?
Yeah.
I may have to come back to you on that one.
Yeah.
You probably actually know what my trigger words are.
No, I'm trying to think too. What are some? I don't know.
I'll tell you a trigger word. The word if in front of an apology.
Ooh.
If I offended you.
Yeah.
You're not really sorry.
Or something, something, but. You know, like, I really am sorry,
but
you should have.
If you understood. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I got that. Is there one, if you chose one character in scripture that you most relate to, who would it be and why?
I would have always told you it was the woman who washed Jesus' feet. And I relate to her on so many levels. I'm lately really so in love with the woman with the issue of blood. I think
because of the chosen.
The chosen. We've seen that beautiful visual thing.
Oh, yeah.
Probably between one of those two women. I think now you're going, there's a lot of great women in the scripture. But from the very beginning, it has been the woman who washed Jesus' feet because of what happened. Her being so transformed and not being able to stay away from him and risking everything to be with him and worship him.
Yeah.
But also the impact that she had on the room by that unadulterated devotion.
Yeah.
It's like that perfume filling the air and people stopping conversation. I just think true worship looks like that. It just interrupts everything.
Yeah.
And I think Jesus was deeply impacted. Like, from a physical sense, touching him and her hot tears, and that we have that kind of impact on him. And I think when that connected for me in the spirit, it changed my intimacy level with the Lord. In the same way that she touched him and impacted him, that I have that kind of access to. So the woman with the issue of blood is just that faith, man. Gotta have it.
It's desperate.
Desperate.
Desperate faith.
But just that she was certain.
Yep, yep.
Like even the way they did in the Chosen, she said, and I was right. I knew if I just touched it, and I was right. You know, just the Lord meeting her in that, I know I'm going to see Jesus and it's going to change everything.
Yeah. I also love how they depict, and I've always loved the woman at the well, just because of her, Jesus's excitement. And hers are so, I love in The Chosen how they depict it too. And I can't, we've talked about it before where we watch those women and I just want to sob out of, because it just is, it brings to life what we've seen in the spirit for so long. When you read that scripture, it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
I like the woman at the well.
Yeah, me too. She's good.
Okay, let's see. What can be a good stumping one? They ask, I think it's curious to know what you do to relax. I think because we all see you go, 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 go. What do you do to relax?
Cooking can be very relaxing for me.
That is not for me, girl.
I know you hate it.
I hate it. Have you ever heard me cook before?
No, I haven't.
You don't want to. I'm just kidding. No, but really what happens is that I just sigh and huff and just begroan the whole thing. I just don't like it. But I'm glad you do. I'm glad that's relaxing for you.
This is something that's like super important. I realize when I go to the beach, I give myself permission to stop. Mm. So I sit. I just look at the water. I just listen. Mm-hmm. I play in the sand. And I'll catch myself, like, when I get all pent up, I'm going, I haven't done anything to unwind myself. Mm-hmm. And so if I can get near water, it has a magical, even if I go to the mountains, I have a place that I go and just sit by the water, mm-hmm. even for a half hour. Mm. It's enough to do that.
Is that play for you? You've taught me a lot about the concept of play.
If I can get to creative play that doesn't have to be perfect or pretty or productive. Mm. That's play for me. Doesn't matter if anybody likes it. I'm just doing it for fun. Because kids don't care if anybody likes it.
Yeah.
They're just doing it because mm-hmm. they can. Mm-hmm. It's fun. So those kind of things. I believe it or not, Chuck likes to read and be real still. And sometimes relaxation for me is knocking things out creatively. Mm. Like actually being able to just have the space to just do whatever I want to do. It's hard for me. Chuck is fantastic. Mm. He's my play. He helps me play. Okay, enough. This is enough. We're stopping now. Okay, okay.
That's good. I like that.
We were driving the other day, and I got in the car. We just had this super productive day. We were both so exhausted. I got in the car, and I went, oh, my gosh. I just thought, when we're coming back in February, we've got to figure out what we're doing. He goes, can we just not be doing something for 15 minutes? Can we just ride in the car? Can we just ride in the car and not think about anything? I went, oh, sorry. So I just thought we had a few minutes. He goes, we have a few minutes to do nothing. We're just going to drive. I went, okay, sorry.
I want to peek into a man's brain for just 5 minutes.
Oh, I don't.
In the quietness. I feel as if there is a quietness because my brain's always going, you know, thinking about got to feed kid, got to clean house, got to do groceries, you know, like what's the next thing? I'm not sure they do that. I'm not sure. Not sure. Jana's literally biting her lip. She's not saying anything.
Well, I got two men in the room. I'm not going to say anything right now.
Let's see. The next one is, what is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, goodness. Probably something related to my grandmother. Those are really happy places. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the iron that I got out and showed you, that great big antique rolling iron? Mm-hmm. Those were really sweet moments with my grandmother and her. I mean, I can just smell everything. The door would be open and she'd be ironing and just all the things. We'd be talking and singing and doing school and all that kind of stuff. So those are super happy memories. Probably things to do with being outside. I had a hard childhood. Mm-hmm. Memories were hard for me to find for a long time. Mm. So I have had to consciously ask the Lord to go back and bring me memories of happy moments because mm-hmm. it felt like there was a lot of hard things going on.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the Lord was in that. So you're trying to, okay, show me the good things, the happy things. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a lot of property. So there was this immense sense of freedom because mm-hmm. you would just run and play because we were out in the country.
Yeah.
And there was a sense of being known. Are you a Hageman? Is Dexter Hageman your grandfather?
No.
Do you know Ruth? Yeah, that's my grandmother. Because there's a sense of community and being mm-hmm. known, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
I'm a little nervous to ask questions myself, to be honest. She's so good at interviewing and asking these questions and follow-up questions. And I'm going, I'm in the hot seat instead of you being in the hot seat. I thought this was going to be you in the hot seat. Let's see. What is one secret talent that no one knows about? I thought about giving you a hard one saying, what's one secret no one knows? What's one secret talent no one knows about?
Gosh, I don't even know. Gosh, I don't know. Crystal, I should have looked at these first. Oh my gosh. I'm a fantastic speller.
Oh. I didn't know that.
I was the runner-up in the
no stop
county spelling bee.
Look at you. I didn't know that.
I'm actually very great. So there. That was not. I dodged that bullet.
That's a good one. I like that.
You know, actually, here's a secret talent I have. Is I have an eye condition, I guess the word is condition. I see more colors than other people. So when you laugh about me trying to get the colors right, it's because I see a different color wheel than some people do.
Really?
It's much more in tune. So that has been very useful to me over my life.
Is it more vivid? Like, do you see more vividly, you
more
think?
Diversity. So like you may see green, I see green in the shade beside it and say shade beside it.
Huh.
And the accuracy of color is very interesting.
Look at that.
Super fun. There's a name, but who knows what it is.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I do love your eye for interior design, so that probably plays into
it. It does a lot, yeah.
This is my all-time favorite question to ever ask anyone in the history of the world. Literally my favorite question. What is your favorite thing about Jesus right now?
He has started this conversation. I think I texted you. He woke me up in the middle of the night and was talking about 12 things, and the first of them being the miraculous. So right now, all of our conversations are about miracles and the miraculous and the God of the impossible and the faith that releases that and how much joy it brings him to move in that on my behalf. And how much joy it brings me to live in that place with him instead of this orphan spirit or lack or I can't get enough, but just that sense of out of our overflow together, miraculous happens.
Yeah.
That was the thing he told me just, I guess it was yesterday, that communion, out of communion with him comes the miraculous. And, you know, because the cross and resurrection is miraculous. The blood and the bread is miraculous. And so our communion with him as we dine with him just creates this environment of the miraculous. Oh, yeah, it's a lot. It's just good. It's just like that warm inside thing. You're going, wow.
That's so sweet. You were talking about that, and he gave me this picture yesterday. We have a little preschool that meets in our building here at the Greater Things House, and they have a phenomenal teacher. Yeah. Her name is Catherine Hallquist. No one can take her from us.
That's right. Don't touch her.
She's phenomenal. And I peeked in there to relay a message yesterday, and she was sitting at the table with all of the littles, and she was having her lunch. And so I sat down with them, and we were just talking a little bit, and I said, oh, did you eat? Because I thought, goodness, I hope you eat, you know, because she's got a big full day and these kids. And she goes, oh, yeah, no, I do. It helps. This is a socialization time for them. And I get to be with them and not do anything. And so you talking about communion with the Lord is just this sweet sense of being and him knowing us and us knowing him and talking about things that are important for us and him talking about secrets that he knows about, you know, and it's a sweet, simple picture of such a deep spiritual concept, you know?
On my cheek, deep to deep, you offer me.
Hey, thanks so much for joining our conversation. Hope that you'll take these things back to the Lord and knock it around with him. Our desire is always that you would hear from the Lord in greater and greater measure for yourself. We would love any support and feedback that you might like to offer. You can reach more information about Greater Things at greater-things.org. And we just bless and honor you today. Thanks for your time. It's a gift and we know it.
You pull me, you draw.